Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
We're creeping towards winter, but there's still time to do some work in your garden. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're talking about fall bedding plants to consider, and it's been just such a mild fall in the United States that we can still be putting things in the ground.
We've still been given this opportunity because the extended fall weather conditions have been, you know, drier than a lot of people would like, especially if you're a farmer. And it's certainly been warmer than we've had in the past, but it is starting to kind of normalize a little bit. We're starting to get the cooler nighttime temperatures. And, well, we've been getting them for a short time, but that's kind of the key on this fall planting decor. It likes the cool temperatures. And we've mentioned our sponsor, Niepegan, several times on the shows because these plants have been for sale for a while, and it's been a bit of a challenge to keep them looking fabulous because they dry out quickly when it's warm and windy. But now things are a little bit better, and I know that you can still buy some of what we're going to talk about. So I just want to kind of set everybody up on what those choices are.
Okay, well, let's hear it. What are some things to be planting?
So here in the Midwest and north of us, from north of Illinois State University, you can always consider pansies and violas.
Really? Because I'm so surprised to see pansies out this time of year, because I always think spring.
They love the coolness of the spring, too. So they're you see them at the beginning of the growing season and at the very end, because they're tolerant of that cool weather that we're supposed to be having. And the viola is kind of a small version of the pansy. A lot of times they're mistaken for a pansy, but there's some differences there. And then we have edible kale and edible chard. And we also have asters and mums.
Yes.
And those are plants that will tolerate the cooler conditions. But we're not limited to that here in the Midwest or north of here, because you can add anything to these plants with the understanding that they are functioning as an annual.
All right.
So adding anything could be some red feather reed grass that's caught your eye at the garden center, and you wanted to incorporate that into your ground level planting of, say, asters, mums, and kale. So you've got low, medium, and high.
Oh, yeah.
And this is true for lots of stuff that's out there. So if you see the big box stores, or you go to Niepegan's where it's a little bit more intimate selection, you're starting to see the little hollies and the little evergreen trees show up. Well, I think those should be part of the palette too, because they'll do just fine planted this fall before the ground freezes, and to accompany and give architecture and structure to our pansies, viola, kale, chard, asters, and mums. That's the northern mix. But just to kind of attract other points of view, I was thinking about, well, what about for folks that live south of us and west of us? Their palette is humongous. And I have some really neat ones for you to consider. Now, we can use these in the Midwest, but again, remember, they're going to function as an annual.
Right.
So we've got primrose, calendula, and the English daisy, the Bellis perennis version of English daisy.
Oh.
You've got candy tuft, which is...
Whoa, candy tuft.
Candy
that sounds
tuft,
tasty.
Iberis is another name that it's known by.
What's it look like?
It's great for whites. It's very pincushiony.
Oh, cool.
And it's white contrast against a very dark green foliage. So it's fabulous by itself, or it's great to kind of decorate the ankles of a planting arrangement. And then you've got some shade lovers. Some of the ones that I already mentioned will tolerate some shade, but this Cineraria and Cyclamen, they love the shade. And then we have Erica or Heath.
Heath. I love it.
So thinking about these, think about them in the context of adding them as an annual for accent and presentation.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week we're talking about fall bedding plants.
So I think the fall bedding plants are fantastic because they're multi-use, and sometimes you get a little extra bang for your dollar.
Well, how?
Well, for example, the mums. You got your garden mums and your hardy mums. The garden mum is just for now. It's a good plant for short-term success and fall color, blooming color. but they're not the ones that are going to come back next year.
All right.
So you could add your mums and your aster into your garden and anticipate having them as a permanent part of your rotation. That's an investment that will return itself, and that's different from the pansies and the viola, the annual side of things, where we have to repurchase and replant them year after year.
Okay.
And then, I got to go to the kale and chard. They're edible.
Yeah.
They're edible. So if you have that knowledge, it'll have some influence on where you put it. Where do you put it?
Yeah.
Well, where you can go out and retrieve it.
So you can have something for a salad.
If you wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you could. It could be in the ground or in a container. Containers are handy because they're easier to kind of build this little tent or a dome over them to keep the chard and kale from freezing solid.
Oh.
As long as it does not freeze solid and fossilize because of the very cold temperatures, it's edible.
So if we do put it in a container and it looks like we're going to get a hard freeze, can we bring that container inside and continue growing them?
Well, you could bring it inside in stages if it had a place inside where it was going to get plenty of sunlight and it's not being blown on by the discharge from the furnace.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Those hot breezes.
That's hard to transition to make from cold to just super comfortable Goldilocks weather. But it's not that hard to cover them outside. And the nice thing about the pot is if you have the kale and chard in a pot, you might be able to just kind of creep it up underneath the eave and throw a dish towel over the top of it.
It's that easy to protect it.
It is. And if it's going to be much colder, you want like a little tent so the dish towel won't freeze to what you're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use stakes or wire to create this little tent that'll keep your protective cloth from freezing to what you're trying to protect. That's a good way to go. And one thing also that helps all of our annuals survive is water. You know, so I think a lot of times gardeners put these plants in the garden and they water them the day they're planted, and they're going to last for a while and they're going to do better for you if you maintain their hydration and you keep them watered.
What about, like, do you have to worry about anything other than watering to make sure everything looks really good? Because if you're putting in something in the ground that you're going to be eating, you have to be wary of any kind of additives.
I think that you're not spraying anything usually this time of year, so it's less of a problem, you
mm-hmm.
know. So you're not you're probably not going to spray any desiccants or wilt proof on them because these are cold tolerant plants. If you did spray them with that, I would discourage one from eating that. But the anti desiccants and stuff are not highly toxic, actually.
Really?
You wouldn't want to have
I wouldn't want to eat it.
Wilt-proof milkshake with your kale chard burger.
But,
right, it's just some common sense. But it makes me think about, you know, you plant these in the ground, and then they get visited by the squirrels and whatever else is there.
You betcha.
And so you got to keep your eye on that and make sure nothing gets
tossed up
yeah. while something is being planted in the ground by the squirrels and
oh, yes, because they're putting things away for the winter, and they might
are.
Just undo what you've done.
That's right. And I think that you can use any of these plants by themselves and in various combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I like talking about the fashionable trends. We're still seeing boughs and twiggage and other objects of art added into our planting displays.
I love twiggage.
I love twiggage,
too. I mean, she was a great model back in the 60s.
We should get her up here sometime.
Absolutely. Twiggage, putting out the call to you, girl. Thanks so much for letting us know about fall bedding plants.
My pleasure.
Murph, we really appreciate it. Next week, we're gonna stay with the fall topic and talk about collecting seeds. That's really, really popular right now. You see that a lot. People are collecting seeds and trading seeds. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there which you can fill in and send along to us, along with a photo, if you like. That website again is wglt.org/grow.